Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today, as we continue through 1 Corinthians, comes from chapter 15, the end of the chapter. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 4 weeks now, we've been reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we celebrate both the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and All Saints' Day. And here we are at the culmination of this mini-celebration as we go through 1 Corinthians 15. We talked about the importance of the resurrection of Christ to our faith. Without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. We talked about what Christ's resurrection means for us, that because Christ has been raised from the dead, we all will rise as well. We talked about the kind of body which we will have at the resurrection, that we will have a new glorified body when God remakes this body without sin and sickness that infests this sinful world. Today we are diving a little deeper into just what the resurrection means for us, the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. Even if what we see of the world looks more like defeat and decay, how will we receive this victory? The fact is, when we look around this world, we don't understand where this resurrection victory comes from. What we're used to in this world is flesh and blood, sin and sickness, death and decay. We get injured, we get sick, we die. We don't understand eternal life. That is what makes it so hard for us to envision life after death, life in heaven with God. We know that flesh and blood wear out. We know that flesh and blood does not last. And when flesh and blood is all that we see, it's convenient to assume that flesh and blood is all that there is. And so this is what gives the onus to Hosea's cry, quoted in part by Paul in our reading. Hosea says, "Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes." In the context in Hosea, God is lamenting the fate of Ephraim, that is, the northern kingdom of Israel, because they turned away from God, and he, in turn, delivered them over to death and Sheol. They are experiencing the plagues, the punishment, the sting of death. In the experience of Israel, in the experience of Paul's hearers in Corinth, of ourselves, death is a fact of life. And at no time is that more true than now. Last week, we remembered two members of this congregation who had passed away in the last year. We could perhaps add a third in Nyla Gert, whose funeral was held here and who grew up here even though she moved away. Yesterday, we celebrated the funeral for one of those two in Opal's funeral. And just this week, we lost another longtime member in Don Mathis, whose funeral we're going to be turning around to prepare for Saturday. Death is a fact of life. People grow old, people die. We've seen it and we know it to be true. And even before people die, their bodies waste away. In fact, it's terrible to watch someone virtually wasting away before our very eyes. And so as we watch someone dying, we may very well echo Hosea's words, "O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting?" Compassion is hidden from our eyes. We don't see God being compassionate. His compassion seems to be hidden from us as he allows a person to waste away and, yes, to die. So where is God when this is happening? What are we to think when death stands in such stark opposition to God's stated plan for life? Listen again to Paul's words in our epistle reading today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." We do grieve when those around us die. And yet we do not grieve as those who have no hope, because we know that those who are asleep are not gone. In Paul's days, there were people who were saying that this is the eternal life that God promised, that everyone who died after Jesus' resurrection is in fact dead. That death in this life signifies the end of all hope for eternal life, that only those who are physically alive at the end will experience the new heaven and the new earth. How horrible would that be? And so Paul informs the Thessalonians and he reminds us today, he comforts us with the hope that those who have fallen asleep in the faith are not gone. Instead, Jesus will in fact bring them back with him on the last day. And that same hope is here, is there for us today as well. This life is not the best there is. There is better still to come. Those who have died in the faith are not gone. They are simply asleep. When you put someone in the grave, you are simply tucking them into bed, and they will rise from that bed once more. In Revelation 14, the angel says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." They rest from their labors, and they will wake once more. And when they awaken, they will be transformed with that new body that God promises. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 3, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And through baptism, we have all been born again. Through baptism, we know that death is not the end for us, that we will rise again. And this is what we see in Philippians 3 when Paul describes that God will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. The fact is, death is not the end of the story. Death will be overthrown. And that's what John sees in Revelation when he says, "Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire." And so it is in this context that Paul co-opts Hosea's lament and makes it his own. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Hear the laughter in his voice as he mocks death. Death has no sting for him. Death has no victory over us because we overcome death in Christ. And so in verse 56 in our reading, Paul reminds us the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law. There certainly still is a sting to death, sin which gains its power from the law, but that power is gone. Death itself is overthrown. But what does this look like? The short answer is that we simply do not know what it will look like. We know that when we die, the mortal is separated from the immortal, the body is separated from the soul, the body goes into the ground, the soul will go to be with Christ in the presence of God from that moment. However, even while it is with Christ, this still is not the end. Remember the saints around the altar in Revelation, who are still waiting because the fulfillment still hasn't come yet. Eventually, Christ will return to declare his victory over sin, over the grave, over the devil. And that when that hour comes, the trumpet will sound and those who are in the tombs will rise. That hour is close at hand, but it still is not here. And at that hour, Isaiah's words will be fulfilled. And he says he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And on that day the perishable will perish, but the imperishable will be given to us. The imperishable will endure. That is the day when the dead shall be raised to new life. The mortal body will be exchanged for the immortal, and the old perishable has perished. The new imperishable body will never perish. What will it look like for us when Christ returns? Truthfully, we can't know for certain, and we won't know for certain until it happens. But Paul does give us an idea. Look again at the epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians, especially verses 16 and 17. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Wow. Can you imagine it? Jesus will descend from heaven surrounded by the armies of heaven, legions upon legions of angels, with a trumpet of God sounding the charge. All the dead will come up out of their tombs or crypts or other resting places. Those who died in Christ and those still alive in Christ will be caught up into the air to meet him as he's coming. But in the meantime, we're still not there. We are still waiting. We are still experiencing the death and decay that sin has brought into this world. We are still experiencing and witnessing the sting of death, but not for long. Last week, we remembered all the saints who have gone before us and even now are waiting in their resting places to hear the trumpet call them out. As the end of the church here approaches, we wait to hear that trumpet call ourselves. It's there, but it still hasn't come yet. In the meantime, I leave you with Paul's concluding words in our sermon text. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we await the resurrection to victory of ourselves and all those who have gone before us in the faith. Amen.